You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your word. We're looking for you, Spirit of God, to take that word, even the work of our Lord, thank you, and put it together so that we would have the benefits that you intended us to have before the foundation of the earth. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, remember he's the last living apostle. Just before the turn of the century, apostasy and everything is really blossoming in his days. And therefore, the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel, gives us a wonderful, wonderful movement that fulfills all of history. God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so we go way back to the beginning, all the way through Israel, etc. And God, what do you tell us about yourself? The Gospel of John is about God being God. That's what it's about. And we need to believe and understand that he is who he is. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, he's in the upper room we've shared together. He is about to go, within a matter of hours, to the cross and literally be crucified. His hour has come. And therefore, he has his 11 disciples at this point, and they are being given precise instruction so that they can be able to go and communicate, Acts chapter 2, etc. To be able to communicate the great truths that he is putting forth in front of them. The truths are impossible to be able to enjoy, to even consider, apart from the grace of God. And that's why the Lord will say, like we shared in John 15, without me, you can do nothing, nothing at all. It's impossible to have these truths. Now, so in the light of them, as our study, we shared John chapter 15, and in verse 11 we shared together, these things have I spoken unto you. Why? What was the purpose of them speaking unto us? These things have I spoken unto you, that you, my joy, might remain in you, abide in you, and that your joy might be full, that you might enjoy the fullness of my joy. Not half of it, not a quarter of it, not three quarters of it. You need to enjoy the fullness. When I put my hand out, if you would just think of it, shaking hands, when you shake my hand, you shake all of me. It's all of me. Take my hand. You've got all of me. Take my joy. You've got all. That's why the fullness. You don't enjoy partial. The vine attached to the branch attached to the vine enjoys the full flow of sap life flowing in the branch. It doesn't enjoy a little bit more than the upper branches or the lower branches. It enjoys the fullness flowing through it. Now, therefore, these things have I said, and we shared earlier in chapter 14, if I can, and in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. I haven't gone out to the cross yet, and you're going to hear and have to have all of these wonderful truths. This awesome, you're to have an awesome relationship, and you're to enjoy it by abiding, and that relationship is to be realized. The relationship is to be understood and experienced. We aren't talking about some pie in the sky later. We're talking about a relationship you're supposed to be able to experience and enjoy. You enjoy your physical being. By that means, you're all breathing, and you all enjoy the air and the oxygen and the heartbeat and everything. And you are practicing because you have that realization that you're alive. You realize you're alive. God wants you to realize you're saved. Now, that's what we're looking for. We aren't looking for some religious something. We're looking for an actual reality that is right. Now, therefore, he says, like in verse 11, chapter 15, my joy is made possible by way of Calvary's cross. I'm going to give you all of my wonderful benefits. Chapter 15, verse 7, remember, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. A wonderful relating, we're to abide in Christ, and his words are to find a home in our heart, and we're to do so. We share together in the process. In the process of God's word finding a home in our heart, and we share together in all of these sections here, that God is going to give us his peace. It's his peace, not your peace. It isn't how you feel about things. It isn't how you like or don't like anything. It's an experience of God's wonderful wholeness, peace, shalom, completeness. It's God's wonderful person, not ours, his wonderful peace. We shared together in verse 9, etc., his love, my love, not your love, not your love. So you're not going to look what you love or like. It isn't a question of that. It's a question of his love, his peace, his love. That's to flow in you in its fullness, in God's peace and love, God's wonderful, wonderful desire. And we shared all these things. Love, God is love. What is love? To humans, it's everything and anything, depending on who you're talking to. But with God, in particular, it has to do with his wonderful person. God says God is love. God is loving you. That is, God is being God to you. If you're letting God love you, you're letting God be who he is to you. Love. For God to be God. Now, keeping that in mind, my peace, my love, my joy, we read together verse 11 a minute ago. My joy, and you can't have my joy, is the wonderful result. The wonderful result we shared together, pleasure, moving up, delight, and going to the top, joy. It's the, understand what I'm doing is I planned it, I purposed it before angels were created. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God, it's your wonderful delight to fulfill, to outwork, the plan that you have in mind that glorifies your wonderful person. And there's only one person that can glorify your wonderful person, and that's you, because you're you, that you're the only God there is. You're the creator. You're the savior. There is no other, as we shared all these things. Now, keeping that in mind, and we added last time, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Not only are my peace, my love, my joy, my friends. You're my friends if you do what I say. Wow. Now, God, that's an awesome thing to be his friend. And we shared all that together. And we shared in the light of the Old Testament, in the light of the New Testament. In the light of the Old Testament, Abraham is God's friend. Is God's friend. And that comes from the verb to love. The word you're looking at here in chapter 15, verse 14, friends, that comes from the verb to love. To love. Phileo, not the same, it's a love, and a relationship kind of thing, love. Affection kind of thing. The other kind of love is God's, God is love. God is love. This is a different word. Now, so therefore, here you are, my love, my joy, my friends, and in the light of that, now, over if you would, before we go further, over to the book of James. And in the book of James, go to chapter 2. And in James chapter 2, you will remember, picking up, if I go in the light of the context again, verse 23. And the scripture, I'm looking at just the little word I'm after. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him, counted to him for righteousness. And he was called, Abraham was called, the friend of God. Remember Isaiah 41 and all of that. He was called the friend of God. Now, we already did that. Just to remind you, God, a friend of God. But, chapter 4, over to James. And in James chapter 4, picking up, if you can, in verse 4. Know you, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship, there's your little word, friendship of the world system is enmity, hostility with God. Whosoever therefore shall be a friend, there's your little word, of the world system is an enemy of God. So God, you got a friend. Well, be a friend of God means you aren't a friend of the world. You can't be both. Over to Matthew chapter 6. You can't be both. And you'll pick up in thought, Acts chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, sliding if I can to verse 24. No man can serve, be a slave, to two masters, but either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot be a slave, serve God and what you're trusting in. You can't have two. You either give God your whole being. Remember, God says it without you turning there. God tells you to love him with your whole heart. Why does God say to love him with your whole heart? Because God is loving you with his whole heart. That's why. God said, if you don't mind, I'm going to give you all of my, like the vine, the branch, I'm going to be the fullness in your life. And I want you, as the branch, to enjoy. I don't want you to be split by something else out here. I want you to stay attached to me, and I want all of my fullness to flow through you. That's what I want. I don't want to have partial. I don't want you to be trying to be three different things. I want you to be saved, sanctified, set apart, and I want you to be fully satisfied with your relationship to me. And the only way you're going to be even know what it is to be satisfied is to make sure you look to me and let my peace and my love and my joy and my friend, you want my words, let them all abide in your heart. And when they do, all of my wonderful person will be able to find a home, to find expression in your life. And it will change your life. You will enjoy. Remember, you shall not perish, John 3:16. You shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the everlasting life is what you have. God is your life. And God gives you his what? His uncreated life for you to live. He lets you live and enjoy his uncreated life. It didn't come from anywhere. It's eternally God's to give it to you. Now, having said that little bit, back over to John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, picking up, if I can, over in O to verse 15. I'll read verse 14 to march into verse 15. You are my friends, if, and you may or may not do it, third class, you may or may not do it, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, from hereafter, no longer, a little word henceforth, no more, I call you not servants. The word servant, remember, is the word slave. And we'll look at that in a sec, slave. And remember, slave means not a servant, we're talking about a slave. And a third, maybe a half, but a third of the Roman Empire are slaves. And we shared together when we went, go way back in history and read the accounts of their Roman Empire's understanding of a slave. And you were better off being a dog than a slave in the house. That doesn't mean some slave masters were good, but a slave was the bottom of the barrel, the lowest you can go. There's no lower. You were not your own. You belonged, and they could do whatever. Now, so here in John chapter 15, verse 15, henceforth I call you not slaves, servants, slaves, for the slave, the servant, knoweth not what the Lord doeth. The servant doesn't know. That doesn't mean the servant doesn't see what the master is doing, but he doesn't know what's in the mind and heart of their master. The master's going to do, and the servant is obedient to do whatever he is told, but the servant doesn't know what his master is thinking, why his master is doing it. He don't know that. So therefore, henceforth I call you not servants, slaves, for the servant, the slave, knoweth not, doesn't know what his master, what his Lord is doing, doesn't know that. Therefore, I have called you friends. I have called you friends. Why friends? And we shared that last time. What was friends? Well, that was a very special thing in the Roman Empire with kings, with rulers. It was very important. What? They had their generals, they had their statesmen, they had their counselors, and then they had their friends. And their friends had a wonderful privilege to be with them at any time. They could be with them when they talked to the general. We shared together, it is even said, they could go and before the master got out of bed, that they could knock on the door and go into his bedroom when he awakes. Wow. They're friends. My friends know what I'm doing. Servants don't know what I'm doing, but friends know what I'm doing. They know what I'm doing and why I'm doing. I share it with them. I don't share it with my general. I tell him what to do. I tell it with my friends. We sit and talk together. When everyone's gone, we're friends. God, we're friends. Abraham is your friend. My friend. It's a wonderful thing to be a friend, God. A friend. Not in the world sense, because you can't really trust that too much, no more than you can trust human love, human friendship, or anything. I wouldn't put my 2 cents worth behind any of it. Thank God for whatever it is in the world, but don't go by it. Learn to look to God that keeps you safe from humans. Humans, remember, you know all those things. God said, don't be trusting any human that can breathe. That takes care of most of us, doesn't it? Don't trust people that can breathe. Don't do it. You'll be crazy to trust them. Isaiah chapter 2. Don't do that. Humans, they got a lousy old nature. No, sir. Boy, I wouldn't trust them, said God. I don't trust them. They're all flesh as is grass. Now, hang on to that. Now, so God, here we are looking, and you're going to call the people that are going to do your commandments. You're going to honor your word. You're going to find your word at home in their heart. The vine, the branch is going to allow God to be God in his fullness. And the branch just enjoys the flow and the relationship. And out of it comes the fruit. Now, knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you, friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. So God, what have you done? You've gone, and the person of Jesus Christ, he has brought all of the wonderful life of the Father by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is able to be revealed, understood, and appreciated, and know his word. Over to John chapter 12 for a moment. And recall, just God tells us all these things. All we're doing is every now and then reminding us what we already should know. John chapter 12, picking up in thought, please. And going to verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. What is that? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So God, what'd you ask? The word. I want my words to find a home in your heart. If you don't let my words find a home in your heart, how are you going to know me? Just think of Sunday school and all that. How are you going to know? How could you possibly understand God? Look, the flowers are wonderful. And it tells you there's an awesome God. The bugs, the birds, the amoeba, the little bacteria, awesome. But it doesn't tell me about God. God has to give us his word so we know his awesome, immutable, omnipresence, etc., etc., etc. God, we couldn't even come to grips with it. We can come to grips with it because you look at the flowers and say, wow. Now, in the light of that, verse 49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment that I should say and what I should speak. So all the words that came out of our Lord Jesus were from God. They're God's words. That's right. That's my words. If my words abide in your heart, then who are my words? My words are God's words. You can't. Anyway, verse 59. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak. I honor God's word. That's what I do. Over to chapter 14 again. And God, what did you tell us? Verse 26. When the Comforter, the Spirit of God, comes, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, God, what are you saying? You're my friends if you keep my word. And I want you, it's my word. I didn't ask you to keep your word. I asked you to keep my word. I didn't ask you to keep your love, my love. I didn't ask you to keep your peace. I didn't ask you to keep your joy. I want you to know it's mine. And if you're willing to do that, you and I are friends. You and I will get along real well. Real well, that's an awesome thing. Now, keep that in mind. So, and know this, find the branch experience to enjoy as we shared all those things. And God, we have a unique personal relationship to you. That's right, a friend. Chapter 14, while you're here, chapter 14 and verse 20. At that time, at that day, you shall know what? That I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, you can't get simpler. You don't have to be a genius. Two or three letters each time, and it makes it very clear. I'm in you, and you're in me. Wow, that's what I want. I want you to understand that and to be able to enjoy that. We're having a vine and branch. Vine, you go out the tree, look at the trees, bushes. The branches are connected. They're all there. That they aren't worried about a thing. They don't care about winter at all. They don't care about anything. Bugs, they just stay attached. and the world's all around them. But they enjoy the full life of the vine, the full life of the tree, in order to produce the leaves and the fruit. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, in the light of that, so therefore, as we look God in it, and you want us to know and have a unique relationship to you, and you want us to have the Father's word and will, how? By way of you. You are the vehicle. You are the one. So when we receive God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and thus the benefits of Jesus Christ, born, who died on Calvary's cross, when we receive God, what do? We don't receive his humanity. We receive the benefits of his humanity. That's what you receive. You don't receive another flesh and blood. You receive the wonderful person of God in all of his fullness. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, here's God's the Father's will in that. And so God, and you told us, we're like friends, so we're at headquarters all the time. In the war, in the work, whatever it is, God, we know what's going on. We know. How do we know what's going on? Because we're in headquarters. We have all the benefits. All of them are taking place. And we're able to trust you without worried about anything, because you know everything, and that which you've given us your word, so that we understand what we need to understand. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so looking to God and trusting God to have all of those benefits. Now, so therefore, I'm going to do it. I don't want to just... Chapter 14 again. Chapter 14. May I go, please? Chapter 14, picking up, please. In verse 15. If you love me, 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Mm-hmm. You got to have some evidence of the relationship of the vine attached to the branch, etc. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest, make clear, public, plain, easy to see, I'll manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest, make clear, public, plain thyself unto us? And how come the other people won't know? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and as that's the evidence of the relationship abiding, and my Father will love him. And we, my Father and I, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And the general, the commander-in-chief, the God of all comfort, is running the universe inside of you. Is he not? We're in the presence of God. And God, you're running. That's right. Right now, out there in the fourth galaxy somewhere out there, or to angels, bad guys, good guys, something going on over there in Iran, Iraq, all of that, God, you know, I do. God's, you know. Not only do you know, in heart, I know. God, you know, that's right. My Father and I, we run everything. We're in charge. So that get. Do you understand what that gives you? What is going to happen? Remember, we just did it with it. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death, etc. God, how can you? Because I'm in charge. And God, I need to understand that. So the bugs, the birds, the bees, and all the dust, God, you understand every particle of dust in this room, which is beyond our ability to even comprehend that. In fact, you weigh all the dust in the earth, in the air, in a scale. Yeah. So God, we're looking to you. I need to understand. Who am I talking about? God, in a unique way. God, we're going to be your friends. Uh-huh. That's what I want. That's awesome. Now, if I can, in the light of that. So friends, yes, 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 yes. Always, always friends. 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 But when we're friends, you're always a servant. You're always a servant. You're a friend. Honoring God. Abraham was his friend. Honoring God, but you're always a servant. Slash, not servant, slave. Remember, hold your finger here and go, you know, over to Philippians. You need to just double check it. Philippians chapter 2. Speaking of our Lord, we did this the other day somewhere. Philippians in chapter 2. God, when you put on a human body, were born in Bethlehem of Judea, how did you come? You were born in the manger, animal stall, and where feeding and all of that. Philippians chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, if I can, in verse 6. Who being in the form of, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it robbery to be equal with God, because he was God, but made himself, God the Son, God the Father, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the fashion of a servant. And that word servant is slave. Now, how did he come? A little babe. Little baby. Loudest thing God ever said in that. He cried. He cried. Wow. God cried. He limited himself to a little cry. Think of that. Now, so God, how did you come? A babe? How did you see yourself? I went to the lowest level there is. I became a slave. I know what the Roman Empire is. I know what slavery is. I know what all that is. But I'm going to take and go all the way down and let you understand what I'm doing is saving you to the uttermost. I'm taking you who are dead in trespasses and sin. I'm going all the way down to the bottom, and you have nothing. And I'm going to go where nothing is, and I'm going to raise you up to the top. And I'm taking that little word, doulos, slave, slave. I'm going to raise it up to the top. I'm taking the bottom, and I'm going to do something great. It's called grace, God's saving grace. Now, in the light of that, and I'll read verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, etc. Back over, if you would please, to John chapter 15. Friends indeed, absolutely friends. But friends are always servants. They're always servants. Hang on. God the Father and God the Son serves the will of God the Father. They're all God. And God the Holy Spirit serves the Son. And they all serve in order. They're all equal. But for our understanding, the Father didn't come to die, the Son did. Why did the Son? To know the Father. How can we know the Father by way of the Son? Because God, the Holy Spirit, makes all of those benefits real so you can enjoy it. Now, so therefore, no question God's servants, friends have to be servants, and joint heirs, sons. We're sons of God, but we're always slaves, always slaves. Always slaves. Wow. Now, God, so here we are looking to you. Over to Romans chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. And watch how this works out. And we're looking at the word servant, slave. But you have to think of slave. This word servant, it means slave. Not all the time, but in these cases. So therefore, Romans chapter 6, here we are looking. You can't serve two masters, remember. You have to choose one or the other. You can't do both. Can't do both. Can't do both. Therefore, chapter 6 of Romans, going to verse 16. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, present yourselves, servants, slaves, to obey? His servants, his slaves, you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Thy words, hide thy words in our heart. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became servant, the servant, the slaves of righteousness. So we went from being a slave to sin to a slave of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, the frailty of our human flesh, your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, mouth, servants, slaves of uncleanness to iniquity, unto iniquity, you go from one thing to another, never getting it cleared up. Even so now, yield your members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, servants, slaves of righteousness unto holiness. For when we were the servant, the slaves of sin, we were free from righteousness. We just did the wrong things in the wrong way, and we never had to worry about rightness because we were never right. We were always wrong in our old nature. Now, so the righteousness we need is yours. So therefore, when you come to verse 21, that what fruit had ye then in these things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But being made free from sin and become servants, slaves to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What's the whole purpose of the branch and the vine coming together? To produce fruit. How are you going to have fruit? How are you going to have that? You're going to have to abide. And God said, listen, my fruit, it's my fruit, not your fruit. It's my love, my joy, my peace, it's mine. And as the vine, as the branch enjoys all of that benefit, all of those benefits, it shows itself. And God is able to be and demonstrate his marvelous grace to save a sinner like you and me and save us. And to enjoy, the sinner is enjoying being saved. The sinner is enjoying being God's friend. The sinner is enjoying being God's servant. Now remember, in the light of that, in the light of all of that, over if you would, now remember now, we're going to go right, move through quickly, just think of it. There's James, there's Paul, there's Peter, there's James, John, Jude, all of, we're going to line them all up. Here's all of these, how do they identify? Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. John, a slave of Jesus Christ. Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. You're all slaves. Boy, if anyone's friends, you guys are. You're right. But that doesn't mean being friends, but that never stops our wonderful relationship to be slaves, to enjoy God's awesome person and to serve. Not our will, our Lord said it, not my will, but in the garden, what? Not my will, but your will, God, be done. It isn't about our will. We go to work and school, we eat lunch, we eat whatever's in the refrigerator. You go and do whatever you have to do with a job to earn a dollar or two in order to pay 10 cents a bag for groceries. And you do all of these different things. You do them. Because we're human. But hey, it's not about us. That isn't my life. That's my living. You have a wonderful relationship to God. That's called eternal life. And you have your living. Don't make your living your life. We shared that on Wednesday or whatever. Don't make your living your life. It is not your life. Your job, your work, your home, your marriage, your children, your enemies, your friends, that is not your, that's your living. Don't make that your life. That's how the world is. That's how we think. We don't know what life is. Hang on. You know all that stuff. Now, therefore, over to John. Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. And you know it, it's a... When we did the book of Revelation, remember, somewhere in the process. And when we started, we had to understand why is the book of Revelation so messed up or mixed up or not even considered. Because chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation, the unfolding, the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his, see the word servant, that's the word slaves, to show unto his slaves the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel, whom his servant, John, that's right. You had to be servant. Now what do servants do in Revelation? That they're serving God, that's who we are. And when you read, what's the revelation about? It's being a friend. Friends know what I'm doing. So we got page after page of God's word to tell you what revelation, it's all about. Revelation 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's all about God, what he's going to do. So we know what he's going to do. We're looking for his imminent soon return. We're looking for it. Why not? We have the information. We don't have to guess at it. Think of all the stuff we do at 6 o'clock and that. You don't have to guess at it. We got it. We're friends. We know. But we're servants. We're slaves. No, God, friends, slaves. That's right. God, you have to be a slave. Well, I don't want to be a slave. You see, but you are a slave. You're a slave to your whole system. You're a slave to your body, right? Aren't you? We did that all it. You don't tell your body what to do. You just let it happen. And you don't, whatever the body's doing. And when the body says, hey, you have appendicitis, then you do something, right? Yeah, you get an abscess tooth, and your body says, do something. And you go serve your body. That's what you do. That's the best illustration, but you get the idea. Over, if you would, please. Over to 1 Corinthians. And to try to give it a little bit for you to take home, a little better. God, here we are. Friends, sons, but always servants, always slaves, always slaves. You're taking that word, and by the way, that's the word the Lord uses. The Lamb of God slain. And remember, as you turn the pages of Revelation, it uses his Lord, but he's the Lamb, L-A-M-B, Lamb. And it isn't just a big lamb. Do you know that word? It's a little lamb. Isn't that interesting? He's the Lord of Lords, and he's the little lamb who sits in the throne, the little lamb who bowed down to Calvary's cross and suffered death, the bottom of the pile to save us, the little lamb. Now, I didn't mean to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you know, God, in your wonderful grace, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which is saved, it is the power of God. How so? Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, because they're too proud, and not many mighty, because they're too strong, not many noble, because they have great positions. No, but to whom then? Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised. And God hath chosen yea, the things and things which are not, you know, are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now God, and we didn't read it, but you don't have time. Remember, if we read the next verse, 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Before you were ever came, or angels came into existence, I had you in my heart and mind, and I had you, and I died for you. I did that before the foundation of the world. Now, God, you did that. Uh-huh. My dying on the, to create you, that's my business. I created you. You could have been born in the days of King Tut or something, but you weren't. You were born in this age, this day. I gave you birth at this time in history. I gave you life. I died on the cross for you before you were ever created. None of it's your business. It's my business. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, I want you to understand that. That's why I said my peace, my joy, my friend, mine, it's mine. So don't try to pull it out of your pocket and say, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that for God. You can do all that. But, God, it isn't about us. It's about your marvelous person. Therefore, ought to be foolish enough to depend upon him for his wisdom, to be weak enough to be empowered with his strength, to be base and low enough to have no better than God's honor, to be despised enough to be kept in the dust of his feet, an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of me. It is nothing, to be nothing enough for God to be everything, to be poor enough to have his riches abound, to be sick enough to claim and cling to his health. Wow, my Savior, my shepherd, my friend. Our Father and God, thank you for your word. A little bit, help us as we seek to understand it. God, thank you very much. Spirit of God, we owe you. Honor our Lord, honor your word, honor your wonderful, wonderful ministry to God, to bring us into the realities that you have found and made possible for us because of the person and work of our Lord and Savior. To the glory, our Father, of your wonderful person. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.